I'm going to read to you from Proverbs chapter 9, a chapter that will be familiar to some who are here today who come to my Bible study group. Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. The woman folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious, but little do they know that the dead are there and her guests are in the depths of the grave. Just a short word of prayer. Our Father, we pray that you will give us clarity of expression and understanding this morning, and we pray that you yourself will speak through your word, affirming all the great things that we believe and drawing us further in to all the greatness of the gospel. And for those who may be struggling today, we pray for special grace to be given to them to come to a personal experience of the great love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, the book of Proverbs is a very wonderful book. And in this ninth chapter, in the time that we have this morning, there's no time at all to take you through it all in great detail. But I am going to take you through the bare bones of the chapter. So you need to follow me if you've got your Bible and to open it up to Proverbs chapter 9. Now, one of the great things about the book of Proverbs is that it divides humanity into two kinds of people. On the one side, you've got those who are wise, and on the other side, you've got those who are fools. That's the way Proverbs sees the whole of humanity, the wise and the fools. It's one way in which you can deal with the book of Proverbs. However, when it comes to the fools, Proverbs uses different words to describe the fool. Sometimes the fool is simply a fool. Sometimes the fool is a mocker, and sometimes the fool is a scorner. But they all fall under that bracket, under that rubric called the fool. And so Proverbs, in telling us how to deal with life, makes it very clear that the secret to understanding life and the secret to actually having a fairly happy life is to learn how to negotiate all of the pitfalls of life by fearing the Lord. That is the key to the book of Proverbs. It's learning to fear the Lord, he tells us in chapter 1 and verse 7, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and also the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, which is two ways of saying the same thing. If you want to understand how to live life in this world, the important thing is to embrace the great God of the covenant, the God who makes a covenant with human beings. Now, in our New Testament terms, that will mean that we come to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way in which we find our way through life is by putting on our gospel spectacles and seeing the whole of life through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what that faith implies in terms of all and everyday life. In the book of Proverbs, however, of course, these people would have been reminded of the great covenant that God entered into with them in the desert, and how with his great laws and his great covenant and his great presence and the greatness and the uniqueness of Israel's God, he draws them into a relationship with him, and their relationship with him determines how they view life. Now, in their society, there were some people who would reject him, and they were called fools. And those who embraced him were called the wise people. Now, in the book of Proverbs, wisdom, and in fact foolishness, is sometimes presented to us in the figure of a woman. And so you get wisdom presented to us as a lady or a woman or female, and you get foolishness presented to us in that way as well. And that's the way they are presented to us in this chapter, in Proverbs chapter 9. We have this lady called Wisdom calling out to the crowds, and we have this woman called Folly crying out to the crowds. So you could say that our talk this morning could easily be described as a talk about voices, because you were hearing different voices calling out to the crowds. And all of us hear these voices one way and another as time goes by, and as the days go by, we hear these voices calling to us, although we may not always recognize it for what they are. There they are calling to us every day in our lives. All right. So now in chapter 9, we've got these opening words. We're going to have a look, first of all, at the lady who is called Wisdom. And this is what we have in chapter 9, the opening verses. I hope you are following me, if you can, in your Bibles. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here, she says. Come to me, she says. Don't go anywhere else. Come here. Come and eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. So what we've got presented before us here now is the way of wisdom, or the way of God, or the way of godliness, or the way of the good life, or the way of righteousness, the way of life. And we've got that contrasted later on with the way of death and the way of godlessness. So now wisdom speaks to us. Wisdom, this is God's way of speaking to us today. This is wisdom. This is the right way calling to us. And what's the first thing we notice? We're told that she has built her house well. She has hewn out its seven pillars. Doesn't mean anything special other than to say that the wisdom or the world view or the foundation or the structures that wisdom offers you is a house that is well built, a life that is well built, rooted in good foundations. It's a worldview that is steady and rock still and will stand you in good in all the storms of life. A solid and a well-built house is a life view that is built on the fear of God, the embracing of God in his purposes and his will, especially as it is for us today in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then she goes on to say, she has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She sent out her maids and she calls. So wisdom, or the good life, or the right life, or the righteous life, has prepared a feast for us, full of good things. Now in the Bible, you often find that God's invitation to come to himself is given to us under the symbol or the figure of a feast. Sometimes the feast is used to describe God's great kindness to us and the way in which he wants to bless us and the way in which he deals with us. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 25, we have these words, God speaking to his people through the prophet. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations, and he'll swallow up death forever. And the sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces, and he'll remove the disgrace of his people from the earth. The Lord has spoken. So when the idea of a feast is set before you, when the idea of coming to a table with lots of food and good wine, it's a way of God saying, I love you. I care about you. If you come to me, you will get the best. If you come to me, you will receive all of my grace and all of my riches. If you come to me, I will give you the best that there can be in this life. And on top of that, you'll have the life to come. There's life to be had and joy and blessing when you listen to the voice of wisdom. Now, you know, the Jewish people came to believe that right at the end of the time, there would be a very great feast in the kingdom of heaven. And only the Jewish people and only the elite amongst them would be welcomed at that feast. And all of the lesser people would be excluded. That is why when you come to the Gospels, for instance, and you come to Luke chapter 14, you have this amazing little statement made to the Lord Jesus, who was at a feast that was given in and he was a guest at the feast. And one of the men who was at the feast said to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "It'll be very good," he said, "for us. Blessed are those who will be at the feast in the kingdom of heaven." And so this man assumes that he's going to be at the feast of the kingdom of heaven, and he understands the ultimate eschatological blessing of God as a great feast in the kingdom of heaven, where all of those who are special will be given God's greatest and final blessings. To which Jesus replies by telling a parable of the wedding feast, in which all the people who expected to come weren't there, and all the people who were in the alleyways and the byways were invited to come. So the idea of a feast, the idea of coming to a table, is an invitation. It's God saying, please come to me. And if you come to me, you'll get all the blessings that I've stored up, and you can have them. It's all for you. And the blessings, of course, are blessings of salvation, blessings of forgiveness, and all the other blessings God has stored up for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids. And she calls from the highest point of the city, which is simply a way of saying that you can hear her voice everywhere. And so today, in this life, in this world, you can hear the voice of wisdom calling you. You can hear wisdom calling you in the ordinary, everyday things of life. You can hear wisdom calling you through your sicknesses. You can hear wisdom calling you through your disappointments. You can hear wisdom calling you through your preachers on Sunday. You can hear wisdom calling you through the songs you listen to and the hymns you sing. You can hear wisdom calling you above all through God's word when you read it. You can hear wisdom calling you sometimes through the Christian books you read and the things that you experience in life. And sometimes when you view our society as it is today, with all of its disappointing things to us, you can hear wisdom calling you saying, this is not the way to walk. There's a better way than this. There's something more than this. You can hear wisdom calling you because she calls you from the highest point of the city. And above all, through God's word, wisdom is always calling you to the feast of God. And she's calling you to come into her house and to adopt her worldview, which is one of embracing God, one of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and living for him and him alone. And she says, let all who are simple come in here. And the word simple means those who are uninitiated, those who are ignorant, those who are, it doesn't mean those who are mentally disabled, but those who are ignorant and those who are inexperienced and naive and those who have got no experience of life and aren't able to make up their mind about things yet. Come to me, she says. Come and eat at my table and you'll receive the tools that you need to help you to negotiate through life. Come and eat my food. Drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways. Leave your ignorance behind. Leave all your naivety behind. And you will live, because you will then walk in the way of understanding. You see, friends, it's very hard to understand life properly and to understand the things that happen to us in life properly unless we have a foundation from which to start. We've got to have a framework within which we can understand life. We've got to have some sort of perimeters. We've got to have some sort of understanding, some key to unlock the things that we experience in life. And your friends out there who have no knowledge of God, no interest in God, no interest in the things of God, no interest in his word, they have no key to unlock life. That is why they are overwhelmed when suddenly a death strikes the family, or a tragedy strikes the family, or a betrayal strikes the family. They have no way of unlocking any understanding into that situation, because they left the ways of wisdom behind. But no, says wisdom, come and eat at my table, and you will receive understanding. You'll be able to walk in the way of understanding because you will leave your simple ways behind. Do you understand that? And dear friends, I hope that all of you here today have heeded that invitation. It's the same as the Lord Jesus Christ saying, come to me and I will give you life. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come to me and out of your very bellies will flow rivers of living water. It's the same way of saying that same thing, the Lord Jesus offering himself to you. And so wisdom offers herself to you in the words of Proverbs chapter 9. Now we're going to skip over the middle words for a minute. I'm going to come to the end of the chapter. We'll go back to those middle words in just a moment. But now we go to the other woman that is presented to us in Proverbs chapter 9. And her name is Folly. Now listen to this. This is the contrasting one. This is the one who lives in darkness. This is not the one who offers you wisdom and a way to live. This woman offers you something else. This is just a picture of the folly of humankind. The woman's folly is loud. See? She's boisterous. She's brash. That's what it means. She's undisciplined. There's no order in her life. That's what the word discipline means here. There's no order. There's no structure in her life at all. She's without knowledge. She has no understanding, no keys to unlock life for you at all. She sits at the door of her house like some sort of loutish person. She's sitting at the door of her house on a seat. But listen, also at the highest point of the city, calling to those who pass by. See, every day we can hear her voice too. Every day we can hear the voice of folly calling us through the internet, through the pornographic sites, through the media, through the books that are put out, through the opinions of the world, through the arguments of friends who are opposed to the gospel. We can hear folly's voice all the time saying, leave the way of wisdom and righteousness and come my way. She calls especially to those who are simple, those who have got no way of assessing things, those who are young and naive and have got none of life's experience, haven't yet developed any understanding of how to cope with life. Come my way, she says, to those who lack judgment, those who are unable to actually formulate good judgments about life. She tries to entice those, all those young people we're concerned about, but not only them, older people as well. She entices them all the time. She says, stolen water is sweet. And you know, there's something in that that appeals to all of us. Stolen water is sweet. There's something that appeals to the baseness of human nature. In stolen waters is sweet. She doesn't tell you that stolen waters don't stay sweet, but stolen waters is sweet. And food eaten in secret is delicious. So she calls us to a life of secrecy. She calls us to a life of illegitimacy. She calls us to live a life that is completely, completely opposed to the way of wisdom. She calls us to the life of a fool. Little do they know, those people who follow her, little do they know that in her house, little do they know that the dead are there. The dead are there. And her guests are in the depths of the grave. So here you've got the woman, wisdom, who calls you to life and to knowledge. And here you've got the woman, folly, who calls you to death and to ruin. And those two voices are out there every day. And we listen to them in one way or another as we listen to the opinions of the world and the things that the world has got to offer us. Let's go back for a moment to those middle verses and see what it says in verse 7. Because now we've got a picture of the two people. We've got a picture of these people. The one is wise, the other is a fool. And listen to what it says. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. So the writer of Proverbs now pauses to give us an insight into the heart, into the life of the man or the woman who has rejected the way of wisdom. And the most important things that Proverbs says about them is that they have moved from being just a fool. A fool in the Bible is not just someone who does foolish things. A fool in the Bible is someone who set their mind against God. A fool in the Bible is someone who has said no to God. It's someone who has said, there is no God, according to Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. It's someone who says, I'm not going to live my life as if God is ruling the world. No, no, but the fool in Proverbs chapter 9 has moved from there. He's now become a mocker. So what is a mocker? A mocker is a fool who's taken that one step further and crossed an invisible line to that point where he becomes totally unteachable. That is a terrible thing, friends. When you can learn nothing more, when your mind is shut, when you are closed off from truth and closed off from correction, and you're closed off from any exhortation to change your ways. See, whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. He laughs and he scorns, or she laughs and scorns at instruction. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. So the fool moves on, not just by one big gigantic step, but you see, the fool or the mocker gets to that point by a life of small decisions against God. One decision after the other, to walk in the wrong way, listening to the wrong voice all the time, till they get to that point where their stance is so firmly established that they no longer hear the voice of wisdom calling them. And when they perceive anybody who represents wisdom or anybody who represents God or anybody who represents Christ speaking to them, their instinct is to mock. Their instinct is to shut off that voice, to scorn them, to hate them, and to abuse the voice, to say, I don't want to hear what you've got to say. So here's the danger of the person who does not listen to wisdom or does not accept the gospel. They move off into a point where they cannot and will not hear the gospel anymore. Like our Lord Jesus said, they shut their eyes and they close their eyes and they shut their ears from the gospel. They cannot hear the word of God anymore. But what about the person who says, yes, I am interested in wisdom. Listen to what it says here in Proverbs. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. In other words, the person who follows the way of the Lord, the person who follows the way of Proverbs, of wisdom in Proverbs, the person who says yes to Jesus, the person who embraces the God of the covenant, the person who fears the Lord is a person who's always teachable. You can always instruct them. And when they hear the word of truth, they say, yes, that's right. And their heart reaches out for the truth. And they embrace the truth. They feel that they want it. They desire it. And so they take it for themselves. Because instruct a wise man, he'll be wiser still. And a righteous man, he'll add to his learning. Why is he like that? Because Proverbs 9 verse 10 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You see, the person who is wise fears the Lord. The person who is wise has embraced God's will. The person who is wise has embraced Christ. And as a result of doing that, they have received not only forgiveness of sins, not only eternal life, but they've received understanding so that they can read life. They can understand life. And they know that the way of wisdom is the way to a good life. The way of wisdom is the way to live. The way of wisdom is the best chance we've got at the highest form of happiness in our lives today. So they embrace wisdom. And as a result of that, they increase in their understanding of the Lord. For, says the Lord, through me your days will be many and years will be added to your life. In other words, when you follow the way of wisdom, you receive the blessing of God as you follow on through life. And then it says this in verse 12, if you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. Wisdom is its own reward. Godliness and goodness is its own reward. And as you follow Christ, as you receive from him all the blessings of God, you look back on your life after 30, 40, 50 years of following the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, well, it hasn't always been easy, but God has been good to me. Right? But listen to this. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. The mocker, the scorner, suffers and suffers alone. They reach the point where they're in the house of death and there's no way back. They're lost. They've listened to Madam Folly. They've drunk from the stolen waters. They've eaten the food in secret. And now they're in the depths of the grave. There's nothing left for them. So, of course, as we come to the communion table this morning, we should always ask ourselves, whose side are we on? Are we on the side of the wise who have embraced the Lord Jesus Christ and taken him for ourselves? Or are we on the side of the mocker, the fool who has said no? And now, as desperate as we are, we never hear the voice of God speaking to us again. We're unteachable. What a terrible place to be in. But hey, guess what? If you are feeling a little bit low spiritually, or you feel that you've lost your grip, or you're feeling unsure of yourself, and you feel a bit anxious, and maybe you have stepped across that line, guess what? If you feel like that, you haven't. And today is the day when you can reestablish your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your arms around him again by faith. Say to him, Lord, I want to walk the way of the wise. I never want to walk the way of the mocker. Will you please receive me today by your grace and establish me in your way and help me to live for you? This is the moment to do it. Now let's just have a moment of quiet prayer.